Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago. A Good Karma Brands radio station.
Hope your weekend was great. Waddle and Sylvie back together, near full ride today. We get a 6 o'clock White Sox pregame, so we're here for the next 3 hours. If you want to get with us.
Get with us.
Figuratively.
Bring it on in.
I'm talking about over the phone, 332-3776. Thayer will join us in an hour. It's our only guest today. A lot of room to roam with so much to talk about with the draft 10 days away.
It's hard to believe.
The White Sox have made themselves more of a topic than we thought they would be at this stage of the game, because a lot of people thought they would sort of be in an irrelevant entity in the middle of a rebuild, because and then they would just go about their business, not be good enough to talk about, not be bad enough to fly under the radar with everything going on. But they are so bad and so awful that they are now just waving, hey, look at us. Look how historically bad we could actually be. And are they really going and hitting rock bottom at this point? Because what do they got?
Nothing. If you don't have the opportunity to at least settle into your seat or your chair and watch a Luis Robert at bat or two, like, that's the only thing that would draw me to the White Sox at this particular time. Again, we talked about it last week. If you don't get the vibe from the team and from those who own and run the team that winning is ultimately important and they're doing everything they possibly can to get to as many wins as possible, then it's hard for me to muster up any enthusiasm.
Yeah. And if you really thought that that was happening and that the owner is like, look, I only got a few more years left. I care more than you guys that I want to win this one more time, then everyone would be like, okay. But we know that's not the case. We know it's not happening. And nothing is happening on that side of town right now. The Cubs had a good weekend, winning 2 of 3 after the, that 8-0 game that they had in San Diego, and then losing the first in Seattle on Friday. They bounced back and they won 2 of 3 in Seattle. And then now they've got 3 in Arizona. They could come back from the trip, above 500 from the trip.
Could be a good trip.
That would be a great trip to go on that West Coast swing and do that. But there could be an injury here, maybe to Seiya. Jesse had that with Canario coming up. We'll keep you posted on that. The one thing Bears-related, there's a lot of Bears-related stuff as we're 10 days away. I talked to somebody inside Halas Hall over the weekend. And it we know that they're going to draft Caleb Williams. But the news and just the stuff.
Does Greeny know that?
Yeah, I think he's finally resigned to moving on.
Okay.
Like, he finally, remember, at the end of last week said he's folding up the tent and he's not making it dramatic anymore.
I just didn't know whether or not maybe he'd had a change of heart this weekend and was going back to, hey, the Bears may actually give you a head fake and go somewhere else. I'm just asking because it seemed like that was how I think we broke him down.
Yeah, I think we did. Okay, I think good. We finally, good. He acknowledged that. And
he was the last holdout out there, maybe?
I think so. Like, okay. And there are others who are going to say that they still think Jaden Daniels could be better, and I have no issue with that.
Like, that's a different discussion.
That's opinion.
Yeah.
But, this is happening. And yes. We talked about this Friday about whether or not you were saying it wasn't going to happen and if you were going to ever call and say, hey, I apologize for saying that it wasn't going to happen.
Or you, just I was wrong. Thing. Just yeah. Was looking for someone to say I'm wrong. I don't need your apology, but just acknowledge that you're wrong. We all have to acknowledge when we're wrong,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I always do. Yeah. But Lord knows I'm not always right.
I thought that Greg Oden was going to be a better NBA player than Kevin Durant.
Durant. Yeah. You were on Leaf and Oden.
Yes.
Those are the two bad things
boom,
to be at.
Boom.
And I told you I'm still waiting for Tyrus Thomas.
Stuff happens.
Like, I wanted Tyrus Thomas over LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And they were getting a player, too. Portland was giving them a player, too, who was a former first-round draft pick.
Yes.
That was win-win for the Bulls.
Listen,
I'm still waiting for that trade to pan out.
Yeah. I thought Jay Cutler was going to be the first quarterback that would ever become a difference-making franchise-caliber quarterback for our Chicago Bears. I was wrong.
It's can't miss.
Wrong.
It's can't
I was
miss.
Wrong.
It's can't miss. Jay's not going to fail.
Come on now. I don't need anybody's apology, but I haven't seen anybody say, wow, I was wrong.
So I was talking to somebody inside Hallis Hall over the weekend, and this isn't going to come in any huge surprise, but what I loved to hear over the weekend talking to this person was, and this is a person who I've talked to before who isn't usually effusive with praise, saying that he spent 2 days with Caleb Williams when he was in town for that dinner, for the 30 visit. And he said to me, I love Caleb Williams. And he was talking about his personality. And he repeated himself again. He goes, I love the kid. And he was telling me, like, giving me an example of how he took his phone and he put it in his back pocket. And this isn't like a thing that a lot of people do these days. And he sat and he engaged eye to eye and had conversations with people. And a lot of times people will walk around with a phone. They'll look down. They won't be engaged. They won't look you in the eye. And this was more personality based of the conversation that we were having. But twice they said that. And they said, I love the kid. And it was just, again, I just said, these are all great things to hear.
Yeah, it doesn't guarantee anything, but this is, I think this was as important or more important to them than who he was as a player, because I think they had come to terms with how they felt about him as a player a long time ago. And as Ryan Poles told everybody, we got to know the person. And this is just confirmation that getting to know that person was nothing but thumbs up.
So we've got 10 more days until this thing becomes official.
Until Caleb Williams is drafted first overall by the Chicago Bears.
And a lot of work to do on figuring out what they're going to do at 9. If they know, I'm not sure. Do they know who's going to be there for them to do to take it 9? So whether you want to talk Bears with us, whether you want to talk, like, how bad are the White Sox? And does it bother you? Or are you out? Are they not even a part of your daily routine? And are you able to just not make it bother you? Are you watching and it doesn't bother you? Or are you apathetic and you're not even paying attention? Or are they so bad that this bothers you even more than you thought it would be? Because, again, I didn't think it would be a part of a talking point on April 15th on the Waddle and Sylvie show, because we figured they would be bad. I just didn't think they'd be this 2 wins bad.
This is a different emotion even than apathy, because we've always talked about apathy as the worst emotion that you ever want to see collectively from your fan base. This is like a step below or just in the opposite direction of apathy. I don't know that it's any worse than being apathetic. Is it just amazement? Is it, you know, sometimes, like they say, you know, everyone stops and watches a car crash. It's not a positive thing, a car crash, but people watch it. You're a voyeur. Are you watching now to see how bad it could be? Are you watching it and it doesn't make you giggle just in a strange way? Because I always thought that the bottom emotion for any sports fan was apathy. Like, I don't even care anymore.
It is. It is, for sure.
And I still think it's the worst emotion, but is this a different kind of emotion? I don't know. Like, are you drawn back in to watch just to see how bad it is?
It's a great question for Sox fans. Like, again, like, it's piqued my interest more because of the content aspect of this. And I feel terrible for Sox fans. And as I've said repeatedly on this show, I know my Bulls are around the corner. I know my Bulls are one or two steps away from becoming this, because they're middling right now. And the only way they can go without getting lucky and winning the lottery and getting bailed out that way is to blow it up again and becoming bad.
I'm just wondering if, you know, the stages of being a fan, when things are going in the wrong direction, you're angry as hell. Then when they wear you down, you become apathetic and like, I don't give a damn anymore. It's almost like, is there now a sense of renewed curiosity whatever the emotion may be as a sports fan, because, whoa, wait a second. Like, this is historically, this looks historically bad. Don't know.
Yeah, that's where I am with them almost. Like, I'm not a fan of them, but I'm sort of curious because it's so bad. So I did two poll questions on my Twitter page. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers, Toyota Let's Go Places. And two stages of this. Is this year's White Sox team the worst Chicago baseball team of your lifetime? So if you're my age, 52, is this the worst team of your, you know, 45 years of watching baseball? Or how many years you've really consciously watched baseball? And then we doubled down and we asked you, is this year's White Sox team the worst Chicago sports team of your lifetime? So we took away baseball and said, of our other teams in town, are they the worst? And like other suggestions that we've gotten, like my Cubs team of 97, they started 0-13. That was the year that Cap said he would sleep in that WGN van until they won a game.
He was on the Late Show with Tom Snyder, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah. He was. You know Cap. He loves himself some pub. He's brilliant.
They had to hit him with a wide angle camera that time because he was a different size at that time.
And he was now cheating and he was showering at the rooftops. Yeah. We've talked about this before. So he was living in the van, but he was still getting creature comforts when people weren't looking. So he wasn't really living in the van.
You can't poop in the van.
Bathroom was acceptable, but he was going for showers and stuff like that.
We should have just had buckets and just hit him with buckets of water behind the van at night.
But I may have you, I don't know if you know this either. A team that starts off 0-13 and were that bad, they still ended up winning 68 games.
Almost nice, right, Miller?
Like, that's not historically bad.
No.
A 68-win team, 68-94, they didn't even lose 100 games. That's like there have been many other Chicago baseball teams to lose 100. I think didn't one of the Cubs teams lose 100? Haven't a recent Sox team lost 100? Going 62-100? I'm pretty sure.
Listen, their guys
last year the Sox lost 100.
They lost 100 last year.
So that 0-13 97 Cubs team didn't even lose 100 games.
How long is Robert expected to be out? 2 months?
Yes.
Aloy's going to be out.
We don't know.
I think he started running this weekend.
I know, but then they said
they wouldn't even put him on the IL, right?
And then Moncada, I know that the timeline has been decreased, but like you're looking at your best three players other than your pitchers. I heard somebody say, they asked today, I think Crochet and Kopech have the best war of any two players on their team, regardless of position. If those three guys are gone, as we expect them to be gone for a very long time, this could be historically bad.
Mm-hmm.
Historically bad.
The Bulls teams out of the, like, this White Sox team underachieved last year, but this wasn't like they blew up a dynasty. The Bulls ended a dynasty and they started rebuilding. You know, and like that Tim Floyd team, that's probably just off of my brain doing it this way. The first year of Tim Floyd, the second year of Tim Floyd, that was probably the worst Chicago sports team I can remember.
The problem with this White Sox team, from my perspective, is you're bad. And I think there was it the Thursday game or the Wednesday game where the average age of your starting lineup was 28.9.
There's no
29 years of age. The story today is that the White Sox are closing in on a deal with Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham's 35 or 36 years old.
Yes,
you're telling me that there's nobody in your system that you can bring up to give it bats to at the very least give this guy an opportunity to get some experience. When guys get healthy, they'll go back down. Or hopefully somebody will, you know, surprise you. But like, you're going to bring Tommy Pham onto this roster for what reason?
Right. What is Clevinger and Tommy Pham suppose? What are they doing to help you in the grand scheme of this? At this stage of what are you trying to do as a franchise?
If you were a team that was battling for a division title and you wanted to add Clevinger or Tommy Pham, we're going to have a different discussion. This team having, you know, adding Clevinger and Tommy Pham, my question is what are you building here, or why is there nobody that you can give it bats to?
Or if you wanted to bring in Tommy Pham even at the beginning of spring training and had a desire to flip him because he had a good playoff run with Arizona last year, and you're like, look, we want to bring him in. We have hopes of flipping him for a prospect at the deadline. We're signing into a one-year deal. Fine. But now you're bringing him in on April 15th. He's not even ready to play. When's he going to be ready to play? None of this. Clevenger, you brought him in late. To do what?
The White Sox have 34 runs scored. 34 in 15 games. You know, Tommy Pham, once he gets ramped up and up to speed, he may very well be hitting second or third in this lineup, which is insane when you say you sign a guy on April 15th because he wasn't good enough, you know, as a guy who you wanted to bring in during spring training. But now, once he gets ramped up, I'm dead serious, he will probably be hitting two or three because he will be that good of a hitter when you look at this roster up and down.
And then what are you hoping for, Mellor? Then what are you hoping for?
I don't know, Sylvie. It's insane. Yesterday I was talking to White Sox fans, and they were all like, dude, this is the worst I've ever seen it. I don't remember. Well, Jeff, fans, they're like, I don't remember it ever being this bad.
You know their system as well as much better than I do, for sure. What, you're telling me that there's nobody in their system that they could bring up and give at bats to, so they have to go out and sign Tommy Pham?
I mean, it's, you know, everything centers around Colson Montgomery. He's the best prospect in the system.
Does he play all eight positions other than pitcher?
And listen, I like him.
Bugs Bunny.
He looks like a nice, very
Bugs Bunny.
It's pitched the old. What was the pitch that Bugs used to throw?
Oh, I forget.
It's just a good one.
Went
I
up
digress.
And down and...
Nick Nastrini, he's going to start tonight.
Right.
He's somebody who's interesting. But there's not a lot to get excited about right now for White Sox.
I don't even want to get excited. I'm just saying somebody you can give it bats to other than a 35-year-old guy who wasn't even with the team when spring training broke.
And is he fantasy football guy?
Yes, Nick, he is. Yeah, he's the guy that got in a fight with Jock Peterson, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, Tommy Pham.
Yes.
So you know what he's going to do? He's going to keep people in line in that clubhouse.
You got to get him in your league, Mellor.
Ryan Tommy.
For fantasy football.
Be careful.
I almost called it Fantasy Football Island.
That's all right. That was the originator. Yeah. The fantasy football show. Boy, it is dark days. Dark days on the South Side. And you know what the other thing is? Listen, I haven't been there yet to check out the milkshake. I'm very intrigued.
We should ban the word milkshake.
We're going on 2 weeks of milkshake talk.
Just ban the word milkshake on the show.
The milkshake talk is really something.
I literally, on Twitter today, the New York Times just wrote about the milkshake. The New York Times.
The New York Times is writing about the White Sox milkshake?
Because it's $17? What's the angle? It's the only thing that's worth...
We have Shake Shack. How many different specialty stores do we have for milkshakes? And we're writing about a team that's going to win 50 baseball games in their milkshake? Again, they need to just market it. Come for dinner.
Yeah.
And we have a sideshow of a baseball game going on.
It's dinner theater.
So 90.1% of the voters are saying this is the worst Chicago baseball team of their lifetime. We've had over 2,000 votes. 84.5% of the voters are saying it's the worst Chicago sports team of their lifetime. We've had over 2,000 votes there, too.
There were some bad ones.
Birdo, our buddy Birdo called almost a year ago. So it was just under a year ago when he first called with his infamous rant. He tweeted about that yesterday.
It's worse now.
Birdo on the West Side is back. What's on your mind, Birdo?
Well, the milkshake, unfortunately. Not much else that's good. What's up with you guys?
Well, what are you most mad about?
I'm mad that George didn't get to paint your nails. My buddy George, he was going to paint your nails.
That's right. Do you believe that he really had COVID?
I don't know. He might have had a tea time.
That's true. See, that's why.
Sure.
So, Birdo and George are friends.
Yes.
Which validates the theory out there that George is an actor as well.
See, except Birdo is a real actor.
Right.
No, George is a great actor. Don't let him fool you. He's very good.
But he's not been on Broadway like you.
No, he doesn't do it anymore. He's a real estate agent.
Does he use humor to sell properties?
Probably. I don't know. I haven't bought from him yet, but I'd like to at some point. I want to give him my business.
What's your next project that you're going to be in?
I can't talk about that yet.
Okay.
But what I can talk about is the depression that I have setting in. I mean, you guys have kind of said everything I wanted to say.
Berto, let me ask you the question that I can't really quantify or you know, identify the emotion. It's not anger. It's not apathy. Like, this is what?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I it was so funny. I was sitting there this weekend watching Ellie De La Cruz hit an absolute missile. And I'm just going like, oh, well, this is what we get to do. We get to watch all the other great players on every other Major League Baseball team look great because of us. So at the very least, the White Sox are so bad that they will elevate your experience of seeing teams that, you know, we don't get to play teams like the Reds all the time. I'm going to go to the ballpark now when I'm in Chicago and see a team, if I can, that I know has great players, because I know they're going to take Chris Flexen deep seven times.
That's how the NBA teams sell tickets now.
The Bulls used to early in their rebuild.
Come watch LeBron and the Lakers come to town for their only visit of the NBA season.
Berto,
that's probably Jerry's theory. I mean, that and the stupid milkshake. I never want to hear about this milkshake
I'm with
again.
You.
Yeah. But honestly, it might be our representative at the All-Star game.
Ladies and gentlemen, representing the Chicago White Sox, the milkshake.
And by the way, it'll be the highest paid player on the roster at that time as well.
Yeah, $17
per.
It's ridiculous.
When you hit your computer and everything, and you go to look at, and the first thing that you see when you go to MLB.com or wherever you're going, it says White Sox on the verge of signing Tommy Pham. What is your thought?
I mean, I'm with you. I don't understand why on earth you call up Oscar Colas for 13 hours, then send him down to the Schaumburg squad just to sign a 36-year-old who gets mad when he loses fantasy football. I mean, this is becoming a joke. It has to become a sitcom. I hope that when I'm older, they let me play Jerry, because I will do it all the justice it needs to be done. I can't help but laugh. And bringing Clevinger back, I mean, we already owed him $4 million or something from last year. Now we're giving him another $6 million to come and do what? Like, win 8 games? What's the point? He's more problematic than not. This is all just like, you know, this isn't about me trying to bang my chest saying I'm right. I called this stuff with Chris Guest, but like, he tried to say he was going to come in and I didn't like this team and we need to fix the defense and now we're going to win a bunch and we can't score 3 runs. I mean, this is the worst baseball team I can consciously remember in my life rooting for. And I at this point, I just can't help but think that it's all a Band-Aid to try and make sure we aren't historically bad.
Well,
rather than actually try and give the youngsters a chance to develop. Colson Montgomery, Nick Nastrini, I'm glad they called him up, but they should be giving these kids at bats rather than these dudes who don't care. They're here to make one more million and hope that they can, you know, leave on a slightly better legacy than they did from the last year before that wasn't that great for either of them.
Yeah. Berto, great stuff. We always appreciate you. Thank you.
Take care, boys.
There's Berto on the West Side, one of a legendary rant, and a Broadway actor, by the way, as I've told you.
He sounds beaten. He does.
He does, yes.
I mean, the anger's out of his voice. The apathy's out of his voice. It just seems like he's lost.
Yes. I want to play you something that Jerry said, and how bad it just sounds. It sounded bad then, and it sounds even worse today, based on the way they've started. If you want to react, 312-332-3776. Obviously, we're not going to stay on this all show, but it is such a, like, they are so bad, they have become a topic. Tom Thayer's going to join us at 4. If you want to talk Bears with us, 332-3776. And the Cubs are looking good, too, especially on this road trip where they've been up and down. They've won some games here. So 312-332-3776. It's a beautiful Monday in the city of Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
I don't like our team.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does. The thing about this is nobody was going to like the White Sox this year. But what Sox fans were hoping for was some hope. And right now, I think in 15 days or more than that, if you, because there's starting March, I think in a matter of 3 weeks, Sox fans' hope has been extinguished quickly for the long-term future. Like, if there was any, everyone's like, who's in charge? What's their plan? I have no long-term hope whatsoever right now.
Well, I mean, the existing disaster is what it is. There is, let's tick off some of the things that are going to occur. There's going to be a managerial change at some point, right? You'd put your money on that in Vegas.
Yes.
A lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wouldn't get good odds, but you'd put money on it. There's really not a lot. There may be guys that they don't want to bring up too early, but there's really not a bevy of young talent that you can be excited about, right? Or otherwise, you may see a couple of them already. They're playing 30-year-old journeymen.
Yeah.
On a day in and day out basis. So what is, you know, what is the carrot here? What am I supposed to be, you know, enticed by? There's really, what am I looking forward to? There's, I don't know what that is.
Right. Here's Jerry from last year. This is when he had like that pseudo press conference. He didn't really invite everybody. Not everyone could attend this. I remember Jesse didn't get an invite to this thing. But because we're the home of the Sox, we did have Connor there. So this was Jerry on why Chris Getz got the job and why no one else was interviewed.
Chris could start to do the things he wants to do right away. If I'd brought somebody in from the outside, as I just to repeat, it would have taken a year. I could have brought Branch Rickey back, and it would have taken him a year to evaluate the organization. So even though I had a list of outside people who I felt could do the job, I also had a list of one among the inside people who I felt could do the job as well as anybody I was going to interview. I didn't have to interview these people because I knew them all. So I knew that they were qualified, but what I did know was I had somebody inside who could start right away making things happen, and that's the reason why Chris was selected.
Would have taken a year. Would have taken a year to evaluate. What the hell's going on right now? Like, this is do you know how long this is going to take? Do you know how long this is going to take before they become competitive again? Before Sox fans are going to be happy and have pride in what this team is going to do? Take a year that, God forbid, they would have hired someone smart who is good at their job, who's qualified at their job, to evaluate everything that's under their hood, to take one step back so they could take five steps forward. Instead, they hired the most convenient guy who was there, who Jerry felt comfortable with, and now all of a sudden, they're not going to have any progress whatsoever. Taking the cheap way out again.
It's a disaster.
2-13, just imagine, it could be worse if Chris Getz wasn't here.
They're only 8.5 out, Meller. You still got a chance, buddy.
Andrew Vaughn leading the team with a 185 batting average on the team leaders page right now. Also, two home runs from Paul DeJong, your home run leader for the White Sox.
By the way, your guy Bush on the north side may have as many home runs as the entire White Sox roster.
What do they have, 8 or 9 right now, the Sox? Bush is 5 as a rookie. Casey in Orland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Casey?
Vote for Pedro.
Vote for Pedro.
Not Grifol, though, right?
No, not Grifol. He is the epitome of the worst coach I've ever seen on the team, and I lived through Bevington.
That's a good, and like that's a topic we have loaded up here too for a day or two. Like, who is the worst Jerry Reinsdorf coaching hire? You think it is Pedro Grifol?
It by far is. I mean, Bevington was bad, but this guy just.
He's just one of the symptoms, right? He's not the sickness. He's one of the symptoms. The sickness goes deeper. He's one of the symptoms.
I agree, but he's the one that, you know, he's the face of the organization. And when there's a clown as the face of an organization, how can you feel good about it?
Tommy Pham's coming, bro.
Yeah, that's encouraging. No, like I say, I'm 63 years old. I lived in Brighton Park, which was close to Comiskey. We used to ride our bikes there. I've seen teams, you know, excellent teams as well as crappy teams, and by far They are the worst I've ever seen in my life.
And the kicker, too, and we haven't really even talked about this, not that we've ignored it. They're asking for $1 billion from the city to build a new stadium.
Simultaneously.
I mean, like, and again, I know we haven't ignored it, but we've been so immersed in their ineptitude on the field that when you kind of put the two thoughts in the same conversation, it's laughable.
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Like, you want $1 billion for a new ballpark, and you're going to lean on the thought that, well, this is going to create jobs and commerce for the area. It's going to be good for the economy. You know, pretty unanimously, right? Economists have come out and said usually these things don't become a net positive for the economy.
No.
They end up being a financial burden.
Right. The one economist said, I told you that I saw this Twitter thing where he said, you're better off dropping $1 billion down from a helicopter into the neighborhood, and that will do more for the economy than building a $1 billion stadium.
Right.
Because it just doesn't reinvigorate a neighborhood or a city.
Listen, in Kansas City, they've got a Super Bowl contender every single year.
They win, yeah.
They've got multiple championships, and they're going to contend again this year. And the citizens in that city said no.
He just told you in that 38-second soundbite he wasn't interested in interviewing people for a general manager. But yet he wants the state and the city to build him a $1 billion stadium?
And create 50,000 new jobs for milkshake makers.
Don and Joliet, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Don?
Hey, Sylvie, how are you?
We're good.
This is the absolute worst White Sox team I've ever seen. I'm 63 years old. You've got Grossman out there on right, can't catch a cold if he was standing in a meat locker. You got yesterday Fletcher dropped the ball. Benintendi, every time a ball's hit to him, it goes over his head. And then with the guys who get hurt, as soon as we started out 1-6, 1-7, you knew who was going to get hurt. We were taking, in Joliet here, we were taking bets on the order. And you know Kopech's next. You guys
had an injury pool on who between Moncada, Aloy, and Robert were going to get hurt?
Yeah, we knew they were going to get hurt. As soon as they started losing, you know who the guys were. I mean, Eloy, he's a China doll. You know, he gets hurt tying his shoes.
Don, thank you. Let's go to Stan. Stan on the Northwest side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Stan?
Hey, Sylvie, to answer your question, this White Sox team is the worst team that the city has ever had. And I lived and went and saw the 1969 Bears.
1-13, and right?
You got it. And this team, in my eyes, they will be lucky if they win 45 games.
You like in baseball, it's so hard to do that. 45.
Well, you're
like,
going to just going to walk into victories.
Right. You get hot. Guys will get hot.
Yeah.
Even bad players go on hot stretches. Good players get really cold at times. To win 45 games.
Dude, this lineup, I don't think that's an exaggeration. Now,
what's the low, Meller? What is the low win total for a 162-game schedule?
I have to look in a modern era, because I feel like the Cleveland Spiders lost, or like they might have like won like 38 games or something back in the day.
The 1899 Spiders set the major league record for most consecutive losses in a season.
And I think they probably have the most losses. But, that's different. That's a different era of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
This lineup, though, without Aloy, Robert, and Moncada. And Robert and Moncada are not coming back anytime soon. So this is going to be your everyday lineup for the most part, day in and day out, at least until the All-Star break. This is a horribly bad roster. The Norfolk Orioles, their AAA batting lineup is leaps and bounds better than what the White Sox are sending out every day right now.
So the worst team ever is the 03 with 162 games, is the 03 Detroit Tigers at 43-119.
Oof. So 43, that's what he said, I think.
Legitimately in play?
I'm seeing right now, because they don't generate any offense. None.
Did you say that the AAA team is better?
The Norfolk Orioles lineup.
Norfolk Orioles.
I'm dead serious. Their AAA lineup is better than what the White Sox are sending out.
Let's see what the White Sox are sending out there tonight. See if maybe they've changed their ways a little bit and see if they've... added a little juice to the lineup.
Where's
against
it going
to
come from?
Tonight?
Yeah, where's the juice going to come
just,
from?
I'm looking, Mellor, I'm just going to make stuff up right here. Albert Bell is back in the lineup tonight. Who do they have tonight?
You ready?
I got you right here. I got Grossman leading off and playing right field. Benintendi, who's hitting a robust 145, will bat second and play left. Andrew Vaughn, who's batting a robust 185, will
he's
bat
a three
third.
Hitter. Yeah.
Gavin Sheets, he's playing a little ding dong out there right now. He's hitting 286 with a couple of dingers. Sosa will play third. He's hitting 200. Dominic. Same thing.
Scotty.
Playing center field. Wait a second. Who is this guy? Braden Shumake is going to be playing
a position.
Shortstop. Maldonado at the grand old age of what? 38?
37 year old.
You know what he's hitting? 069.
Yeah, but he could carry a pitching staff.
You know what is
Nicky Lopez is batting ninth and playing second base. He's hitting 143.
Martin Maldonado's OPS plus. Any guesses? We'll go around the room here.
I think I saw like seven or something like that.
That's Benintendi. I think that's Andrew Benintendi.
Benintendi's at seven right now.
Two.
You say two, Mellor?
Minus six.
Negative 41.
Oh, well, I didn't know it could go that far.
Yeah,
Jim in his car. What's up, Jim?
Jimbo.
He must have parked.
Slim Jim.
Let's go to Chris. Chris on the south side. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, fellas? So I think the thing that makes them being bad worse than it actually is. And we've all seen bad Chicago teams, but I think the thing that makes it worse is the fact that Jerry and company tries to make it seem like we're dumb, like we don't see what's going on. I can look at the moves that were made and tell you that this team was going to be trash. I told my brothers in a group chat that this team was going to be historically bad. Like they may set the record for most losses in the season and probably set the record for run differential. But we want to sit here, and Jerry wants to tell us that the reason for hiring Chris Getz was to get a leg up on development. Like, right. Who are you talking to, man? And then in his proposal for getting a new stadium, in the midst of him asking for public money for a new stadium, he craps on the whole 35th Street community, saying that them not coming to the games, people on the South Side not coming to the games, is the reason why he can't spend. Is the reason why he can't bring fans in? Like, dude, come on. Who are you talking to? If you want to find something to do to continue to make money, by all means, do it, man. There's more than enough avenues to make money sitting on your butt and not have to do anything than owning a baseball team. You know, and it's beyond annoying, man. And I swear, I saw you guys a couple falls ago, and we told you, Sylvie, that we were going down with the ship, and we've been trying. But at this point, I don't know if I can keep doing it, bro. Like it's ridiculous, man. But appreciate you guys covering it, and you know I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, Chris, it's well stated. You hit it all there.
It's not my asset to sell. It's not my asset to manage. I I don't know what the tax ramifications on tax day of all things. What selling now would do. And how advantageous or disadvantageous it would be. The only thing I could just take a step back and say, look, if winning isn't important to you, and I'm talking by your actions, not by your words, then you've had magnificent asset appreciation. Somebody would give you a ton of money.
Yeah, he just wants to be in the business. What's worse, him continuing to own or Angel Hernandez continuing to ump? Who's less qualified right now? Who's less successful?
Well, I mean, to be qualified, all you have to—I mean, you have to be wealthy. Yeah. I mean, he's qualified for that. But look, I don't know. I don't know what's
who's
in his heart,
successful?
His mind. But I think they're on par right now.
By the way, can you answer me this question? Okay, so I just saw this. It looks like Aloy's been activated. If he's activated, why isn't he in the lineup? Try and come up with. So,
where are you going to put him?
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
So there's some breaking news in baseball. If you know your announcers in baseball, MLB retweeted this from one of the writers who cover the Yankees. John Sterling, the longtime voice of the Yankees, is retiring effective immediately. He has a statement and he says, I'm a very blessed human being. I've been able to do what I wanted, broadcasting for 64 years. As a little boy growing up in New York, as a Yankees fan, I was able to broadcast the Yankees for 36 years. It's all to my benefit, and I leave very, very happy. I look forward to seeing everyone again on Saturday.
But I hope he's in good health.
Yeah, I mean, he says he's leaving very, very happy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully everything's okay, but to just announce a retirement.
Yeah, 16 games into the season, not really what you expect.
He's the one who does Yankees win, Yankees win.
He's called a couple of inaccurate home run balls in recent times, but yes, that is his call. It was Yankees win, Yankees win, and don't you remember, we have sound from the time where he called it was a home run, then it wasn't a home run?
Well, I'm sure we do. We also have, remember recently in the last year or two, he got hit by the foul ball.
Oh, that's right.
That was good. Do you still have that one?
I think so. I think I can find that.
Is that not nice on the day that he's retiring?
Well, it is reality. I mean, you know, we wish him well.
Now the 3-2 swung on a pop foul back here.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
It really hit me. I didn't know it was coming back that far. So once again, it'll be a 3-2. And Holmes ready to deal. A ground ball at the third. Donaldson squares, throws to first in time. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win. You know, that foul ball actually hit me. It kind of glanced off my forehead, so I took one for the team.
Okay, John. My best driver of the game is Kyle Higashioka, who wants to know if you're all right. Are you okay, John?
Yes.
Okay,
I am okay. Just a glancing blow.
It's amazing. It really, I mean, like, here he is. He's done that. How old is John Sterling? In his 80s?
85.
He's 85. He's getting hit in the face with a baseball last year.
Ow! Ow!
I mean, that's
playing a play. Getting hit in the face with a baseball, and he said, I'm going to hang it up.
No. Is this post-concussed syndrome?
I don't know.
But, like, he's still doing play-by-play the rest of the game. I mean, and he's taking you through getting hit of the baseball, too. He's telling you he's hurting. Ow!
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 Ow! Yeah, when you hear that on the radio, I think it's time.
Like, well, that was last year.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think this has gotten on long enough.
And he had a good call on that final ground ball.
Yeah.
And the good Yankees win there. And then who is it? Susie Waldman?
Yes.
Is that
Susan Waldman, yes.
Susan Waldman?
What was her?
Roger Clemens is in the box.
Roger Clemens is in George's box.
That was years ago when he was coming out of retirement, right?
I think so, yeah.
She got very, it's like a very New York.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're not familiar with that broadcast, you're like, what's going on over there?
Yeah.
It's a free-for-all over there. Can you find that? When she's announcing.
She got so excited.
She got so excited when they find
Roger
out.
Roger Clemens is in George Steinbrenner's box.
That they're on the brink of signing Roger Clemens to the New York Yankees. And she's going on the...
Roger Clemens is in George's box! And Roger Clemens...
Like, yeah, that's great.
Tommy Pham is in Jerry's box right now! Tommy Pham!
Ow.
That Sox
Roger
fans.
Clemens is in George's box.
That's Sox fans' reactions to the Tommy Pham news. Ow.
Ow.
Ow. Ow.
Can we do a well-being check on Connor? See how he's doing.
Already? We're already? It's on April 15th, we're doing well-being checks?
Who?
Just saying. It's not nice.
It's not nice, the product are running out there.
How do you feel? How do you think Benetti's doing?
I actually caught a little bit of that yesterday at the Tigers broadcast.
Do you think he's, like, he is...
doing a victory lap?
Yes, like, that he is throwing a party every day going into that Tigers booth?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a full party, but he, you know, probably, you know, every now and again you feel like you escaped something. Maybe he has that feeling.
Yeah.
You know, in an elevator that, that elevator went slow on me again today. I didn't think I was going to be on the show.
And then really quick about the Aloy stuff. So let me get this right. When Aloy got hurt.
Aloy's in Jerry's box!
He was not on the IL right away. They're like, we don't want to put him on the IL.
We don't want to pay him.
We're going to play short. Okay, we'll put him on the IL after a few days.
My team is
on the IL.
My team is on the field.
Now they activate him off the IL, and they don't want to play him. Yes? And he's not playing.
You stay out of White Sox business. That's
how
they
do
it.
Right?
Yes, but you stay out of the business.
Hurt, not on the IL. No one coming up to take his spot because he's not on the IL.
Yes.
Play short for a while. Put him then on the IL.
Do you remember when they used to do Sox math on television?
Yes.
This is Sox math.
This is Sox math.
This is the newest version of Sox math.
We'll talk to Tom Thayer coming up next.